USB plugs, you know them, the ones in your computer. And chargers and all that, like when you want to plug a USB in.
Right.
Now there's only two ways it can go in.
Right.
What's your batting average on getting it right the first time?
50%.
You bet. Oh wow, good for you. I am hitting below 100.
Wow.
Like not 100%. Sorry, you made 50. I said batting average. You said 50%. That's not batting average.
500.
I don't know if you know what batting average is.
I'm batting 500.
You're batting 500.
Exactly, okay. 500.
I'm batting. Not even. I'm not even hitting Mendoza. I'm under 100.
That's not good.
No. So it's, hey, invent something else, guys. Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 569 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam. See that
pause? Oh no.
Yeah, I forgot who I was for a minute.
I understand. I thought the internet dropped off.
Yeah, no, that was me. Just my processing delay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you don't have it written down, like on your hand?
No, I should though. Maybe right on the front of my computer.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is. Yeah, one of those "Hello, my name is" stickers.
Yes. I can you still get those stickers?
I'm sure. I'm gonna go on Amazon right now. Order 1,000.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of that, okay, Patreon.
Can you buy
you help
"Hello,
us out"?
My name is stickers on there? No?
No. Oh. I don't care.
Okay.
Patreon. Go to our site, twohosers.com. You'll find the link to Patreon if you want to help us out. And I actually encourage everybody to do it this time. I'm taking a stand. If you go to our website and you look for Amazon, you're not going to find it. They're gone.
Okay.
Goodbye, Amazon. I ended it. Okay, just so we know who broke up with whom, I ended it. Bezos cried a little bit. He's a bit of an emotional guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough.
Okay.
And okay, tell me if I'm overreacting here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the answer is yes. Always yes. Oh, you prefer I underreact. Just like a three-toed sloth. Like those, forget it. No. Always go bigger. Well, I mean, how's the weather there? I mean, this is all tied in to my point.
Amazon's making it flood here. It's been raining. It seems to rain all the time here. There was a few good days. Yesterday was nice, but no, it rains.
But you guys had the floods a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm sure. I mean, where we are is fine. So anyone who's really worried about me, you know, rest assured we're okay. No flooding where we're at, which is interesting.
Your house is below sea level, Adam.
I know, and we live like a block from the water, but yet no flooding here. Maybe, again, I don't know. I'm not a waterologist or a flood a floodologist, but I...
hydrologist.
I think that we're pretty set up being that close to the water as far as the drainage goes. And yeah, even my front lawn, which is pretty wet at one point, dried real quick. So I think things are reasonably good here. I can't say for all of Richmond. Everyone I have talked to and working in the community and talking to lots of different people from the community in Steveston, which is all kind of surrounded by water, have all said that, they haven't seen any issues where they are. So far, Steveston's been good. But again, I guess it just depends on what your drainage looks like, because something, I guess, you know, basically gets clogged and everything will back up. So, eventually, I could anticipate if this continues, there'll be problems everywhere. So hopefully no more floods.
Well, there's a few things that will contribute to issues in Richmond in general. The ditches are gone, but they do pump the water out. Like, they have pump houses at the dike, and they pump them over into the river. So they do take care of it, and they're pretty on it. But you are below sea level, Mm-hmm. That is the point. You live on a river delta, and that's not good. But okay, all the strange weather. Now it's the massive floods that happened more so in the interior, washed away the Coquihalla, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that's just a thing that happened, or is it climate change?
Oh, I definitely think it's climate change, yeah.
Okay. Now, is that climate change caused by mankind?
Yes.
In your opinion?
In my opinion, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. That's why Amazon can go kick rocks.
Okay. They're doing it. It's Amazon?
It is Amazon.
Okay.
I am not even joking you. I'm not even joking you. There's no reason that they need to make stuff for super, super cheap in a place called China. I don't even think we're on the air in China. I'm sure we've been censored in China, so I don't even really care. Go ahead, China. Kick us off the Chinese internet. Okay. Okay.
All right.
However, now I'm not blaming China exactly. That's the thing, is they saw a niche, or they saw an opportunity to produce things at a super low cost, whatever they do to do that, which is uncool. But we promote that because we like shiny things delivered right to our door for free.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone likes that, but there is a cost to that. First of all, there's so many things, and the sheer production of all the things that go on, that, and then shipping them across the ocean and all the pollution and energy involved in doing that for cheap is probably a massive driver of climate change, is my opinion.
Okay.
So I think it's not going to happen. I'm a realist. I know that us quitting, me putting up my foot down and saying enough is not going to fix anything, but I do not wish to be a hypocrite.
Okay.
Still going to order stuff on Amazon sometimes because I don't have a choice.
You always have a choice.
I could just not get things. Like things that I need in Germany that they no longer carry. Well, for example, while we're on this rant, here's the thing. Here's something else I am opposed to. I hate, Adam, the self-checkout at stores. At mm-hmm. Safeway, at the big box, whatever it is. They're everywhere now, right?
Yeah.
Hate them. I never supported them.
Yeah, I don't do.
I never go to them.
I don't do them either.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't like to. I'd rather deal with the person.
Yeah, I would like people to have jobs.
Yeah,
that's what I like. And they say, oh no, but there's still someone working the self checkout. Well, yeah, there's one person working the eight self checkouts. But right. I would rather have eight people working there.
Right.
And because you know what people need is jobs to afford to buy stuff that's produced locally, and then we don't do the whole the climate change. Okay?
Okay.
So that's why, everybody. Now, you can still order from Amazon. I understand. I'm not judging anybody. I'm a realist, Adam. I look at it like bike theft. Okay? I don't believe in bike theft. I don't like bike theft. I don't understand why I need to lock up my bike, Adam. It's my bike. It's not your bike. Why would you take it? It's my bike. Just don't touch it. But I own a bike lock because I'm a realist and I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about Amazon. So I'm just saying, do not click on, don't bother clicking through our site. But if you still get Amazon, I'm not going to judge you. I'm still going to buy things from Amazon when I can't find pocket hole screws in Germany. So I have to get those on Amazon.
Right.
For example.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, Bezos and plus, I don't know, like we're worried about, we're really worried about climate change. He's shooting celebrities into space. That's how he's spending his money. Is putting William Shatner into space for 8 seconds.
I think Shatner flooded the Coquihalla when he went to space.
Okay, I didn't want to come out and say it because I sound like a tinfoil hat guy, but yeah. Yeah, I belong to a group called Essanon. It's Shatner Anonymous, and we believe that Shatner is doing this. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Is his nickname Shat? I hope so.
No, I think you can't shorten Shatner to Shat.
I think if you were Adam Shatner, we would call you Shats. So, bullet dodged, I guess, Adam.
Yeah, good thing.
So, there you go. Anyways, that's it, Bezos.
All right.
Thanks for playing. Okay. So support us on Patreon is what I'm saying.
Okay. And I was going to say, on that note, I did buy some photography gear related stuff I haven't talked about. And I did not buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about that?
Shatner's going to pay for his own space flight now.
Yeah. I bought stuff.
What'd you get?
Well, you're going to like this. Well, maybe you will. I bought a new tripod because last year in baseball season, my tripod mysteriously got shattered. Like the actual shaft of it got broken at the ball field. I think it got hit by a baseball bat. It was in the grass. My fault. I take full responsibility for leaving it where it shouldn't have been. And somewhere along the lines, it got broken. And I don't know exactly what happened to it, but it broke in a way that it should never have broken in natural wear and tear. So I needed a new tripod. Well, I didn't need one, but I wanted one. So I kind of have been waiting to see, what the reviews said in the new tripods. And I've been sort of looking in flyers and kind of doing some reading. And I didn't, again, have a specific time frame where I needed to get it for. So I just kind of waited. And then I saw one of the ones that I was reading about, a company I didn't really know anything about, Three-Legged Thing. Have you heard about this company?
No.
Okay, so they make tripods and they make other stuff too, but I think it started primarily as a tripod company, and they have all kinds. They're from the UK. That's why I thought you might have heard of them. So it's a UK brand, and some of their stuff is, because it's good, has permeated the US and North American market, and so stuff's all over the place now. And at the higher end camera stores, they've got some of the stuff. But anyways, one of the tripods, they have all different lines of tripods, like every company, right? So kind of looking for what I wanted was mid-range, somewhere in the $200 to $300 range. I don't need this thing to be the absolute carbon fiber, rock steady, $1,000 tripod. I just need something that, has a decent ball head on it. I could use it for video or for, a
station. You broke your ball head too?
I didn't break my ball head, but my ball head just sucks. I was playing around with it and I was okay. I mean, it's still usable, but I prefer something that a little better. So I came across this three-legged thing tripod, and it was on sale because it was 2 years old and London Drugs was clearing them out and they had one left. And so it was $100 off from anything I could find it online. So, which never happens. London Drugs never sells things $100 cheaper than everywhere else. So they managed to
have... Except my luggage I bought last week.
So sometimes you get lucky.
I'm not joking. I'm not even kidding you.
Sometimes you get lucky at London Drugs, but they had one of these, the tripod, the exact one that I wanted. And it was, they have a line called the three-legged thing has a line called the Punks line, and they have, I think, three tripods in that line, and I got the Corey. So they all have names,
you're the Corey.
People names. So I have the Punks.
Like the Corey. Feldman or the Haim?
I think it's the Haim because he went to my elementary school. So
Right.
Yeah. So I got that tripod, which I love, because instead of the old school notches on my other tripod that you kind of lift, these ones are they're essentially golf ball size, soft, squishy kind of things that you can turn, and they're awesome. And so the whole thing adjusts super easy. You can adjust three at a time, because if you have big enough hands like me, you can just kind of grab three of these little kind of notches and turn them, and they hold well. But anyway, so the brand, I haven't had it very long, so I can't say to the longevity or anything, but I do find it's very light, very portable, solid, does all the things, goes to the right height I need, does all the things for what I needed a tripod to do, for the limited use that I use it, that it needs to do. And then the kicker was, for the R5 and the R6, this brand, Three-Legged Thing, is the only one out there that I know of that makes an L bracket specifically for the R5 and R6. So I kind of wanted something that I could put my strap on and not need to, like, you know, have to take like a little one of those, you know, tripod socket pieces on and off the bottom of my camera. I thought, I think I just want an L bracket. And then if I use it in a vertical orientation, it doesn't have to kind of like, you know, hang over the side of your tripod. Or if you want to do like a panorama or something on the tripod, you can keep it on plane. Like having a L bracket to me sounded like kind of a nice addition. And Three-Legged Thing just happened to make a specific L bracket, which the world seems to love, for the Canon R5 and R6. So the battery compartment's not covered up. So the screen, the LCD swivel can come out and it's not in the way. So I, again, reading about that, I was like, okay, I need one of these to go with the tripod for this camera. And it's so light and it's just kind of machined metal that I thought, oh, I'll just leave it on the camera full time. And then if I ever want to put it on a tripod, it takes 2 seconds, right? So
right.
That was only available, like, you can't get it in Canada. And they have a whole bunch of different, like, you know, other L brackets, but not this specific one designed specifically for my camera. So I had to order it on B&H, which, you know, is from the US. I'd never ordered from B&H before. But I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity because this is the only way I'm going to get it. And I don't want to buy one of the other L brackets that isn't suited for the flip out LCD. Like, I thought, oh, I just won't use it because it'll be in the way. And I just want to literally put this thing on and never take it off. Right. So right. I ordered the, lucky for me, there was like again, it happened to be on sale at B&H. I don't know why, because it's sold out even on the Three-Legged Thing website. So these are pretty hard to get. But B&H had it. It was on sale when I bought it. So it was like, I want to say $80 US. And then shipping was free. So, or maybe I had to pay $5 really? Bucks shipping or something. It was if you spend a certain amount, maybe I had to spend $100. And then I ended up buying something else just something else. I thought, oh, I need something of this. I think I bought... What did I buy? Oh, no, I know what I bought. I bought a new camera strap for the R6 as well, because I had one for the Fuji. I had one for the other camera, but I didn't have like a... I was just using a strap off of the Fuji for the new camera, and I wanted a more dedicated strap. So I thought, okay, I'll buy this strap, which I could have got here, and then that'll bring me over the free shipping, and did it like that. And yeah, I can say now that I have the L bracket, I'll never take it off the camera. It's friggin' brilliant.
So it arrived. You already have it.
Already have it. I got it a week ago. Yeah. So after
My question lies in less in the L bracket part, which you did a great job describing, and more in the logistics. So back in the day, when I lived in Vancouver and you wanted to get something from B&H, shipping to Canada was a massive problem. And so typically what you'd do is you'd have it shipped to Point Roberts,
right?
Which is this weird, which if you're American and you're listening to this, if you're anybody actually, and you're listening to this episode, Google Point Roberts and just see how crazy it is that that's a thing. Okay. Like it's like 3 football fields of America that just, you can't get to except for driving through Canada twice. Like it's
or
crazy.
Taking a boat. Yeah. Or on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think you're even allowed to do that. Are you?
I think you are. It's kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. So it is kind of crazy. So this little piece of America right by, Tsawwassen, and that's how you say it, even though really we say Tsawwassen. So anyways, used to have to get it shipped to a P.O. box there, which would cost you like $3-4, like you pay the P.O. box to get your stuff. And then you drive down across the border, pre-COVID obviously, pick it up, and then drive back. And usually, you didn't have to declare it. Or if you did, you know, the duty was very, very minimal, right?
Right.
Because there's duty on that, like... Zoll auf Deutsch for the German listeners.
Yeah.
And so what B&H would do is like they have to charge you, they used to have to charge you duty, like customs. And so it would be like, for example, on your L bracket, it would be like $6 for customs.
Yeah. And I think they did that. Like you can, they tell you that when you order from them, like they factor that into your checkout cost. So they know exactly, yeah. like based on your address, they're like, okay, and then you just put that $6 or whatever it is. I want to say you're probably pretty close. It's between $6 and $8 that they add to the checkout price and order so that, you know, you don't have a guy standing on your doorstep saying you owe me whatever money, right? So that they can just
okay,
drop
that's
it.
The yeah. point. It's back in the day before they had that in place, that guy on your doorstep would be like, hey man, you owe me $6. And you'd pay him the $6 for the duty, and he'd be like, oh, and you owe me $91.50 for collecting that $6. And if you think I'm kidding, no, I assure you I am not. Yeah. Like, it was that ridiculous. It was like sometimes like 15 times the price of the duty. You'd be like, yeah, man. Or I could just keep your L bracket.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, are you a good fella? Like, what are we doing here? So I'm glad, but they did get it sorted out a while ago. So I'm glad to hear that you're able to
yeah, find that. Very, very reasonable. And with the fact that you couldn't get it here, and even with the American price, which I would have paid. So once you take off the money from the sale price, that just paid for the conversion and the added charges. So it would have been like I was paying Canadian prices anyways for an item that you right. can't get. So in my mind, it was great. And I would absolutely buy from B&H again, because their prices are far superior. Even when you factor in the conversion and all of that, it's very competitive with what stores would sell things here, but their selection is yep. insane. Like, it is absolutely yes. unbelievable what they've got on their site. Yeah.
I was actually at their Manhattan store many years ago, 2003, I'm going to say. Is that when I was there? 2003? That sounds about right, right?
Sure.
Yeah, you know. I'll go, yeah. I'll find some photos of that trip.
But yeah, to anyone who ever uses a tripod, in my 1 week's worth of using one of these things, freaking awesome. Like, I love
still
versus
not broken.
Still not. I don't think you could break this thing. And the tiny
game on.
Honestly, I don't think you could break it with a baseball bat. Like, it's just based on the shape and the size. Like, it would be pretty close to indestructible. You could drive your car over this thing. So
right.
Yeah. No. I would put. I'm not going to test it because it's on my camera right now, and I don't plan for it to come off. Oh, and the other thing I was going to say, the camera straps that I've been buying, because I have the smaller one, like a thinner one for the Fuji, which is called, it's Peak Designs. Peak Design straps are unbelievable. Like, it's just, again, those guys have figured it out. They cracked the code on what makes a simple strap awesome. They have these little interchangeable clips that you can take the strap off and put it on a different camera that already has the clips on them. So the uh-huh. system's great. But I had the thin one for the Fuji, which didn't feel robust enough for the R6 that I have. So I bought the full, I think it's the slide light was the one on the Fuji, the Peak Design slide light. And then I have the Peak Design slide for the R6. Yeah. So where they should have made it a 5. It should go the other way, shouldn't it? The fancier one is the 6. Like, it's confusing.
They want to confuse you. It's like the P90X workout that I do. It's muscle confusion, Adam. That's how
sure,
you get
sure.
gains.
That's how you get results. You can, yeah.
Yeah. If you're confused about your muscles, that's yeah. That's what it works.
Yeah.
No, but you want a bigger strap anyway. I mean, because of like for the physicality. Like, you work in a massage parlor, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So you understand how that works. So no, but being a physiotherapist, you understand that. Or just being a human being that walks the earth, I think you also understand that if you have a very thin strap on something heavy, it's going to really dig into you.
So sure.
You want to spread that out over a larger area.
Yeah.
That's why you go for the thicker strap.
Yeah. And again, I've been touting camera straps for years now. Like, if you're still using the kind of included Canon or Sony or whatever strap came with your camera, you're missing out on the experience. It is such a difference maker in terms of the comfort and just the functionality of having it like by your side and being able to quickly pull it, you know, camera to eye level. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's an absolute necessity. I would never not have one on my dedicated camera.
See, I live vicariously through you because I still use all the stock ones that comes with it. Although I do use the older ones, like from like the 5D Mark II on my newer cameras, because I don't want anyone knowing I got the Mark III, because like that's the hot item nowadays.
Sure.
2021.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got a Mark III? What? Hey, Dad. But I do have that one that you bought me some like a decade ago. You bought me one called the something or other something something. I
sure.
forget.
Yeah.
And it is very, very cool. Like it's I don't know. It's one of those side strap ones that you can do the quick shooting.
Yeah, the sling strap.
Yeah, something like that. So I do still have that one and use it now and then.
Right.
So, there you go. Okay. Wow. I had a question, but I'm gonna have to ask it next week now because we went so long
on gear.
On these yeah. other things.
Yeah.
I have a question for you next week regarding TV sharpening.
Mm.
I cut myself pretty bad on my TV the other day.
Okay. All right.
No. In terms of the sharpening the image and your, I want your thoughts on that. Cause you like TV.
And, I like TV. Sure.
And you're, but I consider you to be knowledgeable on TV, like tech stuff.
Yeah. I probably am more than the average for sure.
Yes. Definitely more than Randall.
Yeah, yeah, definitely more than Randall. Like, if that's the scale, I'm like 22 Randalls.
Oh no, he's stumbling around in the dark with a blindfold. Like he is, he should be listening to radio, not even podcasts, like just AM radio.
Yeah,
talk 650 CFUN.
Talk about TVs, like again, I'm just gonna say one thing, and maybe this is gonna hit home for some of our listeners, but. You know, when you buy a new, like, I don't know if you have a new HD TV or 4K or whatever, but new out of the box, like they have a lot of the default settings on there. And one of the default settings that makes me crazy, and I can tell because you go over to someone's house and they got the TV playing in the background, and it makes me crazy to not say anything about when they have that, the sort of the move, the soap opera kind of effect where,
okay, that's the question I was asking. That's why.
Oh my God, that makes me
blew
nuts.
Up.
Yeah. It makes me,
I was
nuts.
At Randall's house a few, like last week. And I was like, he had Ted Lasso on.
And it looks so weird.
And it looked like a Canucks broadcast from 1983.
Yeah. It almost looks like it looks like it's not done on movie. It looks like you're watching B footage or something. Like it's just so weird.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing. So I looked at that and said, what are you doing?
That's just default settings. And so many people.
Yeah,
have
no, but
it on
I just grabbed the remote. I went into the settings. I have no idea where this is, like where it is. And I was like, I figured it out. Like I didn't even know what it was. Like I said, something's up here.
Yeah.
It's I know they shot this in 24p or 23.976 or whatever. It looks like it's in like 60 frames a second, but not in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went in, I turned it off.
Yeah.
And boom, it's back to
looking normal.
Movie, like looking movie.
Yeah.
And his response was, I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's better. He's like, no, I like the other one better. and then his daughter, who's in grade 9, was like, it's the same, dude. Like,
yeah.
It is not the same.
That's exactly what, like when we bought our new TV, that's exactly like for a day or so, we're watching it like then I couldn't stand it. My kids were like, no, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I can't stand it. Yeah. I cannot watch it like it. I'm going to figure out what the setting is to turn off whatever the hell is going on. And I'd seen it again at other people's houses before. So I knew it was something I did not want to see. And then, I just had to go through the settings menu. And there is, I can't remember what it's called. You probably found a slider or something, or just
it's,
a turn
it's some
off.
Sort of a it's some sort of a dynamic sharpening
something like that. Yeah
So I showed him where it was. I was like, listen here, I'll put it back to the lousy way because you like it, because I don't know, you're an idiot. And I suppose it's actually good for sports, I bet. Like,
no,
it's probably good
it's
for
not.
Hockey.
It's not good.
Good, okay, good. I don't know. I agree.
It's not
I'm
good
on
for
your
anything.
Side, man.
Yeah, it's not good for
good.
Anything.
No.
If you just looked at a static image, then maybe it looks like like just super sharp and real. But as soon as anything is moving or talking, it looks completely unnatural. Like, and that, I guess if you'd never watched TV in your entire life before, and this was your very first moment of watching TV, maybe you would like that. But my brain has been watching it in a different way forever. So it just looks wrong. It just looks wrong. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So I showed him where it was. I put it back to dumb version. And then here's where you find it. And he won't. He won't find it. He can't. He doesn't know what a remote is. Like I told you, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so, but then like 2 days later, we were up in Whistler at my buddy's place, and he had bought the exact same TV, like a brand new TV, and he had it at his place in Whistler that he rents out. And without even telling him, I just went in and turned that setting off. I was like, I can't have this.
And he'll never know.
No, he won't know. But the people who Airbnb it or whatever he does, they don't know it, but they should be thanking the hosers because I saved your vacation.
Yeah, that's very true. No, we're totally
all right, so I'm not
on
asking
the same
you next
page.
Week.
Yeah, don't ask me next week. We covered
no,
it.
No, no. We got it. All right, reminder, monthly challenge for next week, actually. It's the November monthly challenge. Is your wheelhouse. Do your best version of whatever it is that you feel you're the best at. And post that on Instagram, hashtag #2hosersmonthlychallenge, hashtag #heyhosers. Even better, do both and tag us at #2hosers. And we will check that out next week. Adam, the answer for me is absolutely not. Did you shoot anything interesting?
No.
Okay. Not even with the L thing. Maybe next week.
It's coming up. Like we're getting to the season. I put Christmas lights up outside a couple days ago because we got a nice day and I figured we might never see another one. I never put lights up this early, but again, it was opportunity. I'm glad I did because it seems like it's going to rain forever here. So got the lights up, which made me thinking like, yeah, it's that season of going out and taking the LED light and, you know, shooting some photos with some, you know, nice Christmas light backings and, or just lights in general, right? Like it's just holiday season is upon us. And I love that from a photo standpoint.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And now we have a dog. So everything's going to be dog in front of lights.
Dog, light dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get like a light collar or you're going to get one of those like reindeer antlers for your dog.
I would love that if I thought it was going to stay on for more than 1.5 seconds. So, that would be great. Or if they made one small enough, because still just a puppy, pretty little head. I don't know if they would, if it would be worth the while. But maybe I'll Photoshop some reindeer ears on there.
Yeah, that's not the same. You would do the extra sharpening on.
Okay. Do it. All right, extra.
Yeah. So, real quick, do you guys still have gas limits or not?
Maybe I think we must, but I filled up and we don't drive very far unless I guess there's a hockey out of town game. So I haven't needed to go for the past week, but I think from what I understand there is, but everybody kind of like they do everywhere when all of a sudden it's massive panic. And I think like last weekend there was lineups everywhere cause it was 30 liters or $50, whatever it was, that you could get per vehicle. And everybody was like lined up down the street to get gas. And then because everyone did that and people are probably driving less, it seems like the gas pumps when I drive by are just normal again. So
are they selling toilet paper at the gas stations now?
They should. Yeah. Cause that's probably out everywhere too. Yeah.
2-for-1 panic buy.
Yeah. So there is always a lot of panic buying. And what I've noticed in the stores, the grocery store, I went a couple of days to get groceries, you know, the spillover for all these shortages and floods and roadway breakdowns is for whatever reason, eggs aren't bad. I haven't noticed any issue with eggs, like meat. So, and not like ground beef for that, but if you go to like the deli counter, like, and you want to get like some ham or something, like that's not a thing. Like the deli counter is just empty. Yeah. So that's the one thing I noticed. I'm like, all right, I guess won't be having ham or turkey sandwiches for the next little while. Cause those just aren't there. You've got to have salami basically. That's, you got to be into salami.
Do you
salami.
Want me to send you some?
What, some ham?
Yeah, we got nothing but ham here. I'm serious. My fridge is just chock full of ham. That's what we call my fridge right now.
The ham station.
I made ham and cheese, grilled ham and cheese yesterday.
Okay, well, we're all fresh out of ham here, it seems. Maybe that'll change next week. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what goes on. I would ham. You can live without. That's fine. I mean, I like it.
We'll be okay.
But I would be rattled if two things: eggs and coffee. That would be the one.
Yeah, we're all good on eggs and coffee. Yeah.
Like, I didn't panic buy, but I did. Like, for the last year and a half since this nonsense started. I mean nonsense in like it's not fun. That's right. What I mean.
Yeah, craziness. Okay? Yeah.
I'm not. This isn't part of my Shatner conspiracy. I just mean it's the unfun of the last year and a half. I've always made sure I've had more coffee in the house than I normally do.
Sure.
Because that's one thing that can if that gets shut off, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that and eggs. So, all right, let's get into some photo stuff. No one shot anything interesting. Photo challenge is the 50 mil adapter that we got. Now, I talked about, I said last week, you know, I said the guy's name, and now I remember specifically. So it was a listener sent us a couple of those TCL X100 2s, the teleconverter lens for the X100, last year as a thank you for being awesome. Mm-hmm. And he actually wrote us a very nice note, which I sent you, and he even said, please don't mention my name on the show. So I think I mentioned his online name last week. Pretend you didn't hear that, okay?
Okay, everyone pretend you didn't hear that.
Yeah. He didn't want a shout out. So shout out to nobody then. That's what we're doing. Right. So anyways, much appreciated. And but finally, because of all the craziness, Adam just got his like about 10 days ago, something like that. Whoa. And so it's the topic this week too, is that adapter and our photo challenge all together. So let's just mix them all in. What are your thoughts on the 50 mil adapter?
I like it. I probably will, for the most part, just leave it on the camera.
Really?
Yeah, I probably will. I mean, I prefer that focal length over the wider, whatever it is, 24 millimeters, whatever it is.
Well, 30, we'll talk in equivalents. It's 30, no. 35 mil
equivalent. What's the Fuji without it is what
23.
Okay. So rather than the 23, I prefer the conversion sort of focal length. So I understand the one drawback that I can see is just the actual size. And so, you know, it probably, in terms of something that I can just simply put in a jacket pocket, I could still do it, but it's a lot bigger jacket pocket. Now, I kind of had always left the lens hood on when it was just the 23 millimeter. So it was already a little bit bigger than the original form factor of the X100 anyway. So taking the hood off and putting this on maybe adds, I don't know, an inch and a half, 2 inches of sort of space, but that's not for me, I'm not taking it everywhere. So when I grab it, I want smaller than my bigger setup, or I want to not have to carry extra lenses, flashes. So regardless of, it's still a much smaller kind of package to take with me than the alternative, which is way more. So yes, it's bigger than the original X100 with nothing, but I prefer the focal length and it's still a pretty small form factor. And as far as just a walk around camera for the day, like when we went to get Sunny from her, that's our dog. When we went to get her from the breeder, the place that we got her up in the interior, I just didn't want to have a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm like, okay, perfect, that camera. Now at that time I didn't have the adapter, but that would have been the perfect scenario. It's like, yeah, I would love to have had that adapter because of the focal length is to me kind of my right in my wheelhouse, that whatever it is, that 50 millimeter equivalent, I guess.
The same for me. I absolutely love that. That focal length, again, that is my, when I went to Australia in 2002, I took a film camera, I took an FTB and a 50 mil lens. I also took a crappy little point and shoot, which I ended up using more than anything else just because I was backpacking. But I was fully, I'm all about that one focal length, and that's the one. Now, that being said, the more I've used the X100, the more I have really embraced the 35 mil or 23 mil, whatever we're calling it, focal length. I do like it a lot more than I used to, but I'm the same as you. I 50 mil is my go-to. I absolutely love, like, first of all, the build quality on this thing is outstanding. The threads, like oftentimes when you get something like this, the threads kind of jump, and it can be a real pain. Not this one. They have dialed this one in.
Yeah, no, I agree. And when you have it on, it doesn't look like you've got an adapter on it. It looks like that's just how the camera was made. Like it's right. Again, I think being a Fuji product designed for the Fuji camera, like, yeah, it's top quality for sure.
Now, typically in this scenario, I would just, my default setting is to just not embrace this at all. Because now you're just adding more. I like to be a minimalist, and I don't mean the size of it, but it's not like you're replacing the lens with a different lens. You're actually adding more glass for light to go through.
Sure.
And in theory, there's more, you know, there's more potential points of error or failure points. I can't think of what I'm looking for, actually. But there's more that can go wrong. Or there's just more glass to go through. That's not ideal. You want less. In this case, it's really hard to tell. Like it does a fantastic job, and you are essentially walking around with two lenses, even though you only have one.
Right.
Like you don't have to bring a second lens and then change it out if you want to use the 23 or the 35 or whatever. Again, whatever we're calling it, you simply roll that thing off. You don't have to then put the lens hood back on. You can just shoot with nothing, the pancake part. And now you have two focal lengths quite easily, which is what I did when I shot the video project I shot when I was in Vancouver. That's how I shot it, with that adapter, your adapter, and then just took it on and off, as needed. And it was really quite simple to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the one drawback, I find the size a bigger drawback than you do, evidently. Like for you, it seems like it's not even an issue.
It's not a big deal.
For me, it is in certain scenarios. And a lot of it has to do with the balance of the unit. Without that thing on there, that is a unbelievably compact and extremely well-balanced camera.
Okay.
With it on, it's pretty front heavy.
Sure.
So I don't love carrying it around, but in most cases, it is absolutely worth it because you love the results.
You need a sling strap for your Fuji. That's what you need.
Or I hang a weight on the back of the camera just to counterbalance it.
Yeah, it actually hangs quite nice at your hip. With at your hip, like not when you're bringing it up to your eye to shoot it, but again, I haven't even noticed that, like as a balance issue. It doesn't, right. It's not heavy enough that it factors in for me, but I could see, depending on how you're carrying it, that weight. But on the little sling strap over your shoulder, and the way, again, because you can attach it side to side or side and bottom, it just, the lens just hangs down and it doesn't feel like anything. So yeah.
Oh, it's not the weight, because I'm very strong.
Okay.
So that's not really an issue. But I am kind of a ninja, so balance is everything to me.
But if the weight of the lens is directly down facing the ground, it's in balance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't shoot the ground very often.
No, I'm saying for carrying it around.
Yeah. If you shoot the ground, like if you're flying like a U-2 spy plane, then you're shooting the ground like all the time. Okay. Did I give away too many secrets?
Yeah.
Sorry. Again, China, they're flying. They're looking at you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that's the I love this thing. Thank you. Once again, thank you. But I also do recommend it. Really step up from the past. Like I've used a couple of these before on older cameras, and they're just a pain. They're not very good. Usually third-party people make them, and it's just meh. Not this one. Love it. So let's look at the photos we shot with it. So your challenge was to shoot one, and let's have a look at yours. This is your dog.
This is my dog, taken yesterday on a front lawn when it was not raining.
What color hair, fur, would you say your dog has?
I don't know, a brown, like a medium brown.
I thought it was like a reddish brown.
Maybe. It just depends on the light. Yeah, so this was nice.
The reason I ask is because I can, like, it's difficult for me to see your dog in this photo.
Oh no, the green.
Yeah,
and the
that's
brown?
What I'm saying. It's not difficult. Oh. Like I can make it out, but I'm guessing for you, the dog just pops.
Yeah.
The dog for me, this is all a muddy mess. Now,
interesting.
Very specific to me, red green colorblind. That's why I think there's some tones of red. There must be tones of red in your dog's fur.
Sure.
But the texture is not it's obviously different. But it's kind of similar to the grass, like the way the grass, the blades of grass go, and the dog's hair, which adds to it. So generally, I can pick things out wonderfully when there's texture differences. Then it will pop. That will override the color muddiness. But in this case, it kind of helps the camouflage.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I am not colorblind.
So again. Yeah. Specific to me, not a indictment of your if you photograph based on the small percentage of people who are red green colorblind, I think you're probably wasting your time.
Yeah. So I do love the 50 mil in this shot, or not 50 mil, the Fuji with the adapter lens, making it kind of appear like a 50 mil, because I don't know, I'm not looking at the settings, but what was this, an f what 2.8 f4, what did I shoot this on? You probably can see the metadata.
F4.
Okay, so f4, with that background being so close to the dog, it's amazing to get that blur, which I would not get if I shot it without at an f4. I would have to go to probably an f2 to get a similar effect, in which case her ability to keep her face and her fur and everything in as sharp a focus would be very challenging, in her snout. So the difference, this is why I love kind of 50 millimeter focal length, is that you kind of get, like, especially at an F4, you can keep enough in focus, but the background blur is so nice. And again, F4 for everything on a 50 mil lens.
Yeah. Yeah. Live at F4. Which the great thing about this camera is, also is, I mean, in any situation, I mean, you can go really high on the ISO and not even notice. If you need to.
Yeah, true.
Like, you know, you obviously didn't need to shoot it at the ISO 3200 in this case, but you could.
Yeah, and I think I shot it pretty high only because
1600.
I wasn't sure. Like, I wanted a pretty fast shutter speed just in case, because she doesn't stay still. So I'm just kind of, you know, basically watching what she does and looking for, okay, is she going to pounce on something? Am I going to get her still? So I just kind of set it up like where I thought, okay, I'm going to get something. The noise isn't going to be obtrusive in this situation, but at the same time, if she moves quickly, I can still freeze motion. So that is one of the beautiful things about that camera, is that the ISO noise is very, very good.
Indeed. All right, so I shot a portrait because one of the rubs on this camera, one of the things is, which I disagree with, you shoot different kind of portraits, but they say, you know, it's not the best for portraits. So I specifically wanted to shoot a portrait. This one's of my daughter.
I don't have it. Did you put it in the box?
It's in there. There should be two in there.
And did you create a separate thing for this one?
Possibly. If you opened it up 2 hours ago, I've probably changed things since then.
And you made a 569 episode?
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't even show up for me.
Okay, so don't worry, just
talk it through.
While you vamp.
Yeah.
No, you got to see it. So while I'm talking, I'm just going to, send it to you via the iMessage. And so you'll have them. They are there. You now have the two images.
Okay.
All right. So I shot two on purpose. Like, so the one, here's the one that are you seeing them yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. So the one image is the one with her left eye out of focus. That's the one I shot with the Fuji.
Okay.
So in this case, I would never actually shoot a portrait this way, but I wanted to basically go to the far extreme just to see exactly how far you could push this. I would never do it. I don't like it. Part of it is I'm in very close and at an F2, and so I really wanted to blow out that background in behind, which it does. Like, it, that's extremely narrow, shallow depth of field, but too much so that her left eye is out of focus and it's not good.
Right.
However, let's pretend it is for a second. What do you think of the shot overall for the Fuji?
No, it's nice. Yeah, it's great. And I think that if you had shot, so these are both shot with the 50 mil or with the...
No, to compare, I shot the similar portrait with the setup I normally would shoot, which is my Mark III with a 105 racked out to 105 millimeters. But that's in an F4. So the Fuji will go to an F2, but the 24 to 105 will only go to an F4. And so that's what I shot that at. So it's a very different looking image.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I like them, mm-hmm. both, like they're good. The difference that you see, I mean, her face angle is different. So it's hard to tell because in the first shot, her kind of head and face is tilted down, which is going to give a different perspective for her nose than the second shot where her chin is up. And so then the nose points directly at the camera. So again, for shooting portraits with, you know, like a longer lens, you get the compression of the facial features, which again, the first image with her nose looks, it's a more pleasing portrait angle. And then in the second one, like her nose protrudes at the camera more. So again, if I was just purely basing it, so it's hard because it's apples to oranges because the angles are different. So it's hard to tell how much compression is going on, but overall I like both. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, one camera is even with the adapter is much smaller and more compact, and it has a lot more versatility in terms of what you can do with the flash and sync speed and all those things. So
sure, yeah,
it's gonna get a lot. It's gonna get some portrait use in the near future.
Yeah,
if I ever shoot photos again. So
right
there, you go. Okay, and that's what that is. All right, challenge for next week, Adam, is our monthly challenge for November, and that is your wheelhouse. Hopefully, okay. I bet your wheelhouse is dog photography. That's my guess.
Yeah, sure is. Cooperative photography.
Yeah. Mine's going to be selfies in the bathtub. So buckle up. Here it comes.
Nice.
Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And we'll talk about that next week. Meanwhile, speaking of Instagram, Adam, that's your website.
Yeah, I never do anything there. I think
you
should just
do
quit.
Something.
I should just quit Instagram because I never, even I took photos last week. I was out and we were taking photos. I should have mentioned this in the interesting, but we had gone long. I was taking photos of down at the seawall with my wife. We went for breakfast and sister-in-law and daughter. And I was like, oh, great. And my wife posted them. I think my sister-in-law posted them. I posted nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
There you go.
So everyone, there you go.
Everyone
Instagram.
Follow.
Hey,
follow
me because I'm super great at posting stuff.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Check out his sister-in-law. I think she goes by Adam's sister-in-law on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's her handle.
Look her up.
Check her out. All right. You find my stuff at my stuff. Even less rare. Like I don't even. If you want to see some stuff from 2011, go to alanatridge.com. You can find my stuff there. You find it just after the Olympics, like the boxing day of the Olympics. That's when the Vancouver Olympics, I mean. That's nice. What you can find there. So go check that out. But the two of us are at twohosers.com, and that is up to date. That's where you can go to find the rest of the stuff that we talked about, all the photos we talked about, everything else. I messed up my normal spiel, so now I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, great.
So go to there. Go to twohosers.com. And Patreon's there. You know how you can really stick it to Bezos?
Donate lots of money to Patreon.
Click on our Patreon. That's not lots of money. Just a little bit.
No,
I would rather have a lot of people give a very tiny amount than one person give a lot.
Or,
that's what I would prefer.
Or how about a lot of people give a lot?
That I'm not going to cry about that either.
Okay. All right.
But that sounds like pandering.
It was.
Or panhandling. Probably more panhandling than pandering.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right.
Anyways, twohosers.com. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.